The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, as the Formula One season moves to Miami this weekend, my next guest will be taking a keen interest. Dr. Marcia Goddard is a new neuroscientist, but has worked with some of the leading Formula One teams. In her new book, Driving Performance, 10 Lessons About Building High-Performing Teams from Neuroscience and Formula One, she examines how both can provide business lessons in team building. She joins me now. Good morning, Marcia. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm great. Now, tell me, Formula One and neuroscience sound like strange bedfellows. How did you become connected to both?
Well, Formula One has been in my life forever because I started watching when I was, I think, 9 years old. And I love the sport ever since. And then professionally, I moved into the field of neuroscience. And then when I started my business, I thought, I have to, as someone who was interested in high performance, I have to figure out how Formula One is able to bring the best out into the people every single race, every single year. So I kind of brought them together myself.
Right. So what you say in the material supporting the book, you say brain matters translate complex brain behavior relationships into actionable strategies that enhance team dynamics, leadership, and organizational performance. So maybe let's look at F1 and Formula One. So what do they do really well, first of all?
Well, I think, and this is actually the most important message from the entire book, it is the things that we often dismiss as soft when we look at businesses, so things like communication and trust and psychological safety. Those are actually the things that kind of hardwire that high performance into the brains of the team members. And in Formula One, they really understand that and embrace that. And as much as it's about the technical side of things as well, they spend a lot of time and energy on team dynamics and leadership capabilities. So the things, like I said, the things that we call soft are crucial cogs in their wheels every single day.
So if something goes wrong, as something goes wrong lots of times in business, in sport, in everything. So there's no, am I right in saying that they don't have a blame game culture, or they try not to have in Formula One?
Yeah, exactly. So the no blame philosophy is a really important concept in the sport, but that doesn't mean there's sometimes people think that means that, oh, mistakes are okay. And obviously they are not. Making a mistake multiple times is not very high performing. But what they have is an environment where when mistakes happen, they focus on what happens, what happened, and what they can learn from it, but not necessarily at pointing fingers about who did it. Because in the context of performance, it doesn't matter who made the mistake, as long as we all learn from it and we make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Sometimes we react to different situations in different ways. You say that leaders often mislabel freezing or withdrawal as lack of resilience, when it can actually be a natural brain response to a perceived threat. So this is the kind of rabbit in the headlights scenario.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's about, so when we have to deal with setbacks or changes, or when the pressure is really on, from a brain perspective, what happens is we either frame it as a threat or we frame it as a challenge. And depending on that framing, our behavior changes. So that freeze response that you see is a brain that is in threat mode. But quite often, that has nothing to do with the person themselves or with their resilience, but with the environment, with the communication and the trust and the safety that is present in that environment. Those are levers that you can utilize to sort of change that framing from threat to challenge.
Yeah. What about the importance of structured routines, clear debrief formats, as in, you know, analyzing to death almost, you know, the last race of who did what, You know, when you look at the minutiae around all that, is that something that business should be doing as well?
To a degree, yes. So in Formula One, they have very structured routines because they know everything around them is chaos. I don't know if you watch Formula One or you have been to a race, but if you have, you will know that it can be quite chaotic. Unexpected things happen every single race or every single session sometimes. So they have those structured debriefs and those routines in place because that gives the brain a sense of predictability. And the brain is just one big prediction machine. So in that sense, having those routines helps people to stay on track, to know, okay, everything else might be unpredictable, but at least we know what we're doing, right? So I think it would be incredibly helpful if businesses integrated that as well. But then they have to make sure that it doesn't turn into like a bureaucracy where it's computer says no because we have to do this now. That's not what we're aiming for. We're aiming for having a clear structure, but also having that flexibility to change things if they don't work anymore.
Yeah. Isn't Formula One, Marcia, like anything else? You know, you've got teams that are actively competing. You've got leaders that thrive, leaders that fail. People get hired, people get fired. So it isn't really any different in some ways than an ordinary situation. It's just the sort of intensity and the profile of it. would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the funny thing about Formula One is it has so it's a sport and it's very visible, of course. I think that's a big difference with other types of businesses. Everything in F1 is very visible.
Yeah.
But when you dive a little bit deeper, there are about Red Bull Racing has 2,000 people working at the factory who just go to the office every morning and they do their jobs and then they go home again, just like people who work in other industries. So it's really interesting in the sense that it is a sport and it has that high competitiveness and also the glitz and the glamour, of course. But then it's also just an office environment where people just want to do nice things and have a good time.
Tell me about Pat Simmons. I think you interviewed him as part of your research for the book. Tell me about him and what you learned from him.
So Pat obviously is a legend of the sport. He has worked with some of my heroes. I grew up just being a huge Schumacher fan and he worked with him. So for me, it was an honor to even interview him because he's done some amazing things in the sport. He's now executive engineering consultant at Cadillac F1, which is the new team that's on the grid. And we talked at length about many different things, but the one thing that stuck with me the most was that he taught me a really interesting concept, the flat authority gradient. So I studied F1 and that's how this book came about. And I'd always seen that in F1, everybody can speak to everyone. There is a hierarchy, obviously. There's a boss, there's a team principal, there's a CEO. All of those things are in place. But when it comes to the racing, everybody has a voice and everybody has autonomy. And he calls that the flat authority gradient. And I think that is something that every single business, everyone who is listening right now, who is interested in optimizing their culture, should really look into, because it means that decisions are made as close to the work as possible, which means you prevent that bureaucracy from creeping in. You give people autonomy. You show people that you trust them. And that's how the best results come about.
Finally, can I ask you, Marcia, will you be in Miami this weekend?
I will not. No, not in Miami. I will be in Silverstone, actually, which I'm really looking forward to because I've never been. I live in the Netherlands, so I don't live in the UK. And I am going to Silverstone for the first time. It is my favorite circuit, so definitely looking forward to that one. But this weekend, I'll just be in front of the TV.
And when you're there at an F1 event, are you thinking about leadership and business and all that good stuff while you watch the cars race around the track?
A little bit, but to be honest, I'm also just listening to the sound and enjoying the race, because aside from it being my job, I'm also just a huge, huge fan.
All right. Well, look, it's a great book. It's called Driving Performance. The author is Marcia Goddard. Thanks for joining us this morning, Marcia, and enjoy Miami this weekend.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.